The last federal election brought many surprises with the Teal independents and new faces into Parliament. But it's also the first time the Parliament is multicultural, accurately reflecting how Australia is. Also, it brought the highest number of women elected, and this might change how policy is made. Experts say 2022 might practically bring an end to the white Australia we know. I started asking Emeritus Professor of Sociology at the University of Technology Sydney, Andrew Jakubowicz, his initial thoughts about the new federal parliament.
I think it's got a great deal of opportunity. The fact that the lower house is not hung, which means that there is actually a majority, is good, I think, and particularly because that's offset somewhat in the Senate, where there is a sort of a balancing act, particularly from the Greens and from Jackie Lambie, so that to get legislation through, the government will have to negotiate or, in fact, find a new ally in the opposition, which may also be the case. So we'll see. But I think it's much better parliament than the last one, put it that way.
Now, you argued in the article from The Conversation that this election could signal the end of the White Australia era. Could you expand on this?
Yeah, I mean, we've normally taken it in Australia that White Australia was essentially an immigration program, and the barriers to non-white migration were removed more than 50 years ago. However, in the structures of Australian society, particularly in the elites, usually conservative cabinets, the High Court, even the board of the ABC, we tend to see white or European Australians dominating. For instance, one of my students found that the chances of being a judge were greatest if your heritage was from Scotland and were least if your heritage was from a non-European society. So it pervades the whole of Australia. And the National Parliament was probably the most public expression of this, overwhelmingly male, overwhelmingly white. I said at the last election, looking at the way in which the electorates were voting, that I thought probably 2019 was going to be the last federal election in which white Australia was reproduced. And I think I've been proved correct on that the 2022 election has returned a significant number of South Asians, East and Northeast Asian people, people come from Africa, and of course a huge increase in the Indigenous representation in Parliament. So I think what we're now seeing is a parliament which looks more like, but it's not still doesn't look like, but it looks more like the diversity of Australia. And I think that's a very positive move.
Now, how influential was the Kaul community's vote in this election, you think?
I think it's probably clear that the Kaul communities essentially delivered this election to the Labor Party. This was an election that was won by attracting people from cultural and linguistic diversities in electorates which a lot of people thought were not marginal, but which turned out to be swinging electorates. So the Labor Party has a lot to thank culturally diverse communities for. And I think a number of people have noted that the vote within the vote of this election wasn't that much a vote for the Labor Party as a huge vote against the Liberal Party. And the Labor Party got the benefit of that. It's particularly true for, I think, the Chinese-speaking, Mandarin-speaking communities who were really, really offended by the behaviours of the previous government and took every opportunity they had to vote against that government very significantly right across the board. And if you look at electorates like Fowler, for instance, or not like Fowler, if you look at an electorate like Fowler, where the Labor Party ran someone who wasn't reflective of the local community's diversity. And there was a locally diverse candidate with a long track record of fighting on these issues. The electorate just went to the independent and just forgot about the Labor Party almost altogether.
Now, the other thing on this election is we had some interesting years, to put it mildly. Number one was COVID, and the other one, the lack of support of the previous government in Kaul communities. In which way these two topics affected the election, you think?
Well, I think in certain electorates, and I think particularly in southwest Sydney, and Fowler was a very good example of that, there was immense resentment against government in general about the way in which surveillance and general sort of reactions to COVID had affected those communities. There was a very strong feeling that the way in which governments had responded to people of colour was very different to the way in which they responded to communities which were more white and more middle class. And I think that played out in some of the ways in which people voted. The detail of that is quite complicated, but I think that's quite clearly there. So I think that that's a very important element of it. I think the more widely the previous government's position, particularly in relationship to the Chinese community and its apparent lack of interest in doing anything about the mass racism that was triggered during the COVID period, particularly the early period, I think that's a very important part of the response.
That was Emeritus Professor of Sociology at the University of Technology, Sydney, Andrew Jakubowicz.